As we get ready to go to prayer, I want to mention a couple of things. These beautiful flowers up here this morning are on behalf of some of our family and friends that we have lost and done their funerals in the last couple of days. Neelyn Corey passed away. We did her funeral this week. Dick Esler's brother Dwight passed away, and these flowers are memory of those. But I've learned this morning that's not all that's passed away in our families. I just learned this morning of others. Jim Toma has lost another son in the last couple of days. Dave Horn lost a sister-in-law in the last couple of days. Dwayne Brayton lost a sister-in-law in the last few days. And so I just want us to spend a moment or two in prayer for these families. And maybe I'm missing somebody that I haven't heard about yet, but we have had much loss lately. And there's those that are still hurting with cancer and struggling that way. And so I just want to spend a little time in prayer for them. Can we do that? Let's just pray for them. Father, we are in awe of you and your goodness to us. You're so good to us. You are so almighty, powerful, all-knowing. You are so far above us, there is no comparison. And so we do stand here in awe of you today, our Heavenly Father, who loved us with a love so intently, you were willing to send Jesus, your Son, God in the flesh, to earth to die on our behalf, that his blood might wash away our sin. Father, we stand here in awe of you this morning for your grace and your mercy and willingness to forgive us of our sin. We stand here in awe of you this morning, how you take care of us when there are 7 billion people on the planet right now, and yet you can sort through even if every one of us was praying at once. You know our yesterday, you know our tomorrow, you know us today. And so we stand here in awe of you this morning, Father. As a matter of fact, Lord, it amazes me, it simply boggles my mind that you, the creator of the universe, would even allow us to call you Father. And so we come to you this morning crying out, Abba, Father. Heal the sick. You see our prayer focus. You know those with cancers and other afflictions. Heal the brokenhearted of those that have lost their loved ones, even these last days and these last months. Strengthen the weary. Bind up hearts that are broken. Father, hear our prayers this morning on behalf of those that hurt. May they receive a touch of the Master's hand. Those that are weary and frail and weakened and worn, may they feel the presence of the living God. Father God, we pray for all those on our prayer focus, but especially these we have mentioned this morning who have just lost their loved ones. Touch them, Lord. Help them to feel your embrace. Thank you, too, for our graduates, high school and college graduates alike. Father, thank you for these accomplishments. Thank you for this chapter that has been or is about to be closed. And now they're going to move on to another chapter. Will you guide them? Will you bless them, Lord? Will you help them navigate the waters of life as they go into the workforce or to the military or to post-secondary education or wherever they go? Father, will you walk with them night and day, drawing them closer to you? Thank you for each and every one here this morning. Thank you for other churches all over our region. Father, will you help us as we have come to worship you today, will you help us by your Spirit? Help us to hear from you. Help us to have hearts that want to worship you. And so thank you again for everyone that has come this morning. Touch again, I pray, those that hurt. Walk with those that haven't spoken of their request, but you know they're hurting. Guide us each to a closer walk with you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In a little while, we're going to honor our graduates, our high school graduates. We do want to say congratulations to them and to our post-secondary graduates. And so I will read some names later on of those that have been part of us. Some are here today, but many are not. And so we thank God for you and your accomplishments. And we will pray for you high school graduates at the close of this service. And we have a little something for you. But today I want to talk about wisdom. And so when we think about graduations, it took a lot of wisdom to get to that point, I suppose. At least it took some. But it takes wisdom in everyday life. And we're going to talk about wisdom today. You know, there's a wisdom we can gain from books, and we do. Our graduates have done that. That's why they're graduating. And there's underclassmen and other people in college courses and all that kind of stuff. They're gaining wisdom and knowledge and understanding of perhaps a specific career or whatever, but they're gaining these things as they press on towards life. I want to talk about the wisdom of God today. I don't want to in any way, shape, or form take away from the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that they are learning and we need to learn in books and from our teachers and everything else. But I want, in essence, to remind us of how important it is for the wisdom of God, too. As a matter of fact, I would say this, that we could gain all the wisdom of all the books in the world, but if we exclude the Bible and the wisdom there, we're still incomplete. Even though we've gained all the wisdom and all the knowledge and all the understanding of all these other places, if we exclude in our wisdom gaining, our knowledge, our understanding, if we exclude the Word of God, we're still incomplete. And so, I am no way, shape, or form taking away from your wisdom. I like to learn too. I'm just adding to how important it is that we need the wisdom and counsel of God. Right in with all the rest of our learning. And so, two Sundays ago we started in Proverbs chapter 1. Today we're going to Proverbs chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, that's where we'll be at in a few verses there. But before we jump into chapter 2, I'd like to revisit a couple, three verses from chapter 1 to kind of set the stage for chapter 2. And so here, I want to remind us, in chapter 1, we learned a couple of things that are important. Number 1, from verse 7, chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. In other words, that vibrant, healthy respect. I was talking to... Interestingly enough, we have a PhD here in this service. In the other service, we had at least two that I know of. There might be more than that here. I don't know. But I know we have that many. And so we've got some very smart folks around us. And one of those PhDs at the close of first service said he had a friend that he went to school with, and he did his PhD, he did his dissertation on Proverbs chapter 2. Exactly what I talked about in the first service. And I'm going to talk about it here in a minute. My point is this. When he did his dissertation on that, his PhD understanding and learning and stuff on the fear of the Lord, he boiled it down to that healthy respect of God and remembering who He is. You know, sometimes when I think of God in His high glory and I think of us, there really is no comparison, is there? God, us, there's really no comparison. Amen? Sometimes we think we're God and we try to bring Him down to our level, but He is God and we are not. We need to remember that. And that maybe is where the fear of the Lord starts. But we start this whole study in Proverbs by saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to remember who God is. We really do. He is God, and we are not. Then we saw also in Proverbs 1, verse 10, my son, Solomon's writing, if sinners entice you, do not consent. We saw that, talked about it a little bit. Then later in that same chapter, verse 28, then, this is Solomon's words, from the heart of God, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because why could there be a time in our lives when we call upon God and He doesn't answer? Why could there come a time in our life because we're looking for Him and we can't find Him? Because, verse 29 says, we hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So that's what we saw in chapter 1. And so I just want to reiterate from that chapter and setting the tone for chapter 2 here. Don't be afraid, brothers and sisters, to continue to receive wisdom and knowledge and instruction from the Word of God. Do not be shy about continuing to learn from the Word of God. After all, the Bible says the Word is truth. We need some truth, amen? We really do. And also we learn in that verse, don't fall for the enticing ways of the world, because the Bible says in Romans 6:23, sin leads to death. We're reminded of that in the Proverbs of Solomon. And also we're reminded, don't be surprised when we're not hearing from God, if we're not getting our prayers answered, if He's not directing us, if He's not leading us, when we pay no attention to His counsel. Don't be surprised that we're not hearing from Him. If we're not paying Him any heed or any attention or paying any attention to His Word, then we need not be surprised if He's not leading us and answering our prayers. That's what He said in chapter 1. And so I just want to say, we cannot expect, brothers and sisters, to receive the blessing of God if we pay no attention to Him and His Word. That is part of the wisdom that we must gain for everyday living from His Word. We cannot expect to be led by God's Spirit if we just choose to do our own thing. We will never, ever walk as Jesus walked if we have no fear of the Lord. So that sets the stage for chapter 2, which says, what is the fear of the Lord? Chapter 2 is where I'm at. If you have your Bible, follow along. It'll also be on the big screen. We'll look at just a few verses. Chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Solomon says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, that's understanding, and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Let me go over that again and pull it together. You follow along or listen. If, he is saying, you receive my words, treasure my commands, incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, if we cry out for discernment and lift up our voice for understanding, seeking her as silver, if we search for her as hidden treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. Then and only then will we understand the fear of the Lord. You say, Jim, that's a whole lot of ifs in there. Well, it is a few. There is a lot of ifs in there, brothers and sisters. But we begin to get the idea here that it's going to take some effort to understand the wisdom of God. We have high school graduates here and we have college graduates here today. It took effort to get where you're at today, did it not, graduates? It took effort. It took a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of tests and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. It takes effort to gain the wisdom that you're going into, be it whatever your field is. It also takes effort to really understand the wisdom and understanding and knowledge of God. If we never give God any of our effort or any of our time, we're never going to have a wisdom of God. We're never going to have clear understanding about Him. And so just like our graduates and the rest of us, the rest of those of you that are in education process, it takes effort to do all that stuff, as Solomon is saying to his son here, and he's writing, if we are ever going to understand the fear of the Lord, it is going to take effort. Amen? It is. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some time. Then he said in verse 5, I read that already, but then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Did you know that? Well, I thought we gained wisdom by book learning. Well, we do. But we need that wisdom of the Lord too. And it's the Lord that gives that kind of wisdom. Do you remember in James chapter 1, verse 5, James wrote this, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Do you remember James said that? If we lack wisdom, James said, then we've got to ask the wisdom giver. Doesn't that make sense? I think it does. We can ask him for wisdom to how to get through the next test. But we need to ask him for wisdom for everyday living too. We need to ask him for wisdom on how to do this thing called life. We need to ask him for wisdom on perhaps college choices or perhaps career choices or perhaps who will I marry someday. We need to ask him for wisdom for a lot of things. We can get wisdom from a lot of places, but if we exclude the living God, we are incomplete. We need his wisdom too, added into all the rest of the wisdom that we gain. And so, in verse 6 he says here, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. In verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. We like that, don't we? Wisdom entering our heart and knowledge pleasant to our soul. We like some wisdom and understanding and knowledge, don't we? This would mean yes. This means no, I don't. Get work with me here. We're not quite done. We like to have wisdom about things. We like to have understanding. I like to learn. I read all the time. Anyway, back to the scripture. Verse 10 says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. In other words, he's saying here, when the fear of God and the wisdom of God are what makes us tick, we then automatically make different and better choices. He uses the word discretion will preserve you. When we really have some wisdom and understanding and knowledge from the living God, he says that understanding will keep you. You know, we can make decisions all day long. We have to make decisions all day long in whatever we do. But if we never include the counsel of God, many of those decisions will not be the best because we didn't include the wisdom and understanding and counsel of God. He goes on there to elaborate a little bit about what understanding is in keeping you. It'll deliver you from ways of evil and from the man who speaks perverse things and all these things, from those who leave the path of righteousness. He's just describing there in 12 through 16 and beyond how understanding of God's ways and God's word will keep us safer and preserve us in him. We will make better decisions when we consider his counsel. That does make sense, doesn't it? And so, let me move on so we can recognize our graduates here in a moment. What Solomon is saying here in these verses, wisdom, understanding, and discretion will deliver us from a lot of hurt. It really will. I tell people all the time as I sit down with them one-on-one, they're pouring out their life and their life to me about 100 different subjects, and I reiterate over and over and over, life is about choices. We got a lot of them to make. Some of them we're going to make really good, some of them we're not. We're going to blow it on a few of them. And Solomon is simply telling us here, when we consider the counsel of God and seek after him, He will help us with those decisions, and they will be better, and it will preserve us because we have sought the counsel of God and done what He has led us to. And so, when we understand His wisdom and His understanding and His direction, I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, it will keep us from hurt. It will keep us from pain. Pain sometimes is self-inflicted because of our decisions. Can I get a witness? Yes. Sometimes pain is self-inflicted because of our choices. God wants to help us with that. I suggest we let His Word help us with that. It's really quite simple. Allow His wisdom to help us with decision making. I'm not just talking about seniors or graduates from college. I'm talking about all of us. Where does wisdom come from? He said it is from the Lord, for the Lord gives wisdom. And the second place, He says in verses 1 through 3 and 4, as I read earlier, we have to search for it. We have to search for it. We have to be diligent to receive, to treasure, to incline our ear, to apply our heart, to cry out. We have to search for wisdom. Just like we do when we're studying for a test, whatever we're studying for. You and I could read all the books in the library. We could listen to the greatest scholars and philosophers of all time. We could research and we could study all manner of things. I like history. I don't like biology. Sorry, Charlie. Charlie's a PhD in chemistry. I don't like chemistry. I don't like biology, but we could research all of these things and we could gain wisdom and we could gain understanding and we could gain knowledge. We could read all the books, but if we have excluded the Word of God, we are still coming up short on wisdom. That's what Solomon says. And so, I just want to say to close, we need to keep learning regardless of our age. I like to learn. I like to read. I like to learn lots of stuff about lots of stuff. But if I leave the Word of God out of my learning process, I'm incomplete. I really am. And so are you. I know not everybody sees it that way, but I still believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it's true. I believe we need it. Yes, we're in the 21st century. Yes, we're bright. Yes, we have computers. Yes, we got lots of smarts. We got lots of stuff. But I believe the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe we still need it. I believe it'll still direct our lives, whether we think we have all the answers or not. I know I don't. And I know not everybody sees the Word of God as the truth of God, but I believe we need the Word of God. I still believe that it is the truth. I still believe that it is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. As I mentioned to you just 2 weeks ago, I said this from the latest Barna polls that I just read before that sermon. 32% of Americans never, never read, look at, or listen to the Word of God. 32%. And so I wonder, and I ask us, where, if we never look at the Word of God, never listen to it, never consider it, never read it, then I ask us, where in the world are we going to find wisdom and discernment and understanding? I'll tell you where, because we find it from Scripture. We begin then to do what is right in our own eyes. Amen? That's where we end up. That's where they ended up in the Old Testament. That's where we ended up today, even in the 21st century. If we will not consider the counsel and wisdom and direction of the living God, we do what's right in our own eyes, and that will not get us in good places. The Old Testament is full of those kind of examples. And so if we will not look, if we do not look, we don't care to look at the Word of God for our wisdom, we begin then to do what is right in our own eyes. And even we get to the point of, Del Tackett talks about this a great deal in the Truth Project, we get to that point of even if 51% says, well, this is okay, this is right, if we have not consulted the wisdom of God and it goes against the Word of God, it is still not right, even if 51 or 91% said it's right. We must, brothers and sisters, younger and older alike, we must consider the wisdom of God in our learning. We must use His guidance as our life compass. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. And so we have the Holy Spirit at our disposal to help us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, He said to the disciples that night, I'm going to leave, but the Comforter is going to come. And one of the things He's going to do, He's going to guide you in all truth. And Jesus said, My word is truth. I need His truth. I think we all do. I think America does. We have the Holy Spirit to help us with all truth. We have the Holy Spirit to help us even in our everyday learning, whether I'm going to be a veterinarian or a doctor or whether I'm going to be the milk truck driver. That's what the funeral I did for a guy yesterday. He was a milk truck driver. God will help you with all of those kinds of wisdoms. And He will help you with His wisdom because we have the Holy Spirit of God at our disposal. And so, let us not exclude the wisdom of God. The world today will tell you it has wisdom, and it does. But if it is contrary to the Word of God, it is not the best wisdom. The world will tell you, graduates, you're going off to college, and folks, if you're already through college, the world will tell you, I have wisdom. But if the world has not considered the counsel and understanding and discretion and wisdom of God, it's not the best wisdom. It must factor in the wisdom of God, and then it will be good. It'll be right. Hallelujah. We can have it that way. The wisdom that we can gain from our learning in school and the professors and the experts, and we can have it incorporated in right with the Word of God, and we can have it that way, God's wisdom and the wisdom of my teachers. We cannot exclude the wisdom of God. When we do, we just do things that's right in our own eyes. We just go our own way. And you can read all about what happened in the Old Testament when they did that. It didn't work out well. And they did what was right in their own eyes. That doesn't turn out well. Amen. That's lesson enough for today. Now, I am going to read a list of the seniors that have been with us. This is high school seniors. We also have some college graduates. But I want to, because we have this tradition of recognizing high school seniors, I want to do that now. And anyway, here we go. That I know of, and if I miss somebody, please let me know. Maybe I haven't seen your high school senior or whatever for a while, but these seniors, these graduating seniors have been with us. Grace Van Alst, Alex Hardy, Courtney Jasmer, Trey Skizik, Alicia Carlson, Josie Wentland, Rosie Sercek have all been with us from time to time. And I don't know if I missed anybody, or I'm sorry if I did. But these seniors have been with us. They are graduating. Let's give them a hand. Grace, are there any other graduating seniors here this morning? High school seniors? I know Grace is with us. Congratulations, college graduates, because I know there's some of you too. We just want to present, go ahead. If you got a little something for up there, you go ahead of that. We just want to say how blessed we are to know you and to celebrate with you. You can see Grace here. You can get a chuckle out of her baby pictures. But we just want to say to Grace today, congratulations. And we want to give her a little something that we pray will be a lamp unto her feet and a light unto her path. There are other seniors that we feel equally as blessed to have known. They just don't happen to be here today. High school seniors and such. And so as long as Grace is here today, while we're enjoying these lovely pictures, I also want to invite these gentlemen and others, mom and dad if you want, to lay hands on her, and we're going to pray for her and the rest of the seniors in their new chapter. And so, we're going to pray for you. Is that okay, Grace? We'll just keep those pictures going and running. And so, mom and dad or anybody else that wants to come, if you want to, you don't mind if we lay hands on you, do you? Okay. We just want to pray a prayer of blessing on her and the other seniors today and ask God to go with them into the next chapter of their life. Can we do that? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are so thankful for our graduates, high school and college both. We're so thankful for their accomplishments. We're so thankful that you've given them these brains that are working miraculously and doing miraculous things and processing all of this stuff. And here they are at graduation time. Father, we just want to say thank you for Grace and all the rest of them. There are college graduates here, and there's high school graduates that didn't make it today, but we just want to pray for all of them. And we want to say, Father, will you help them understand the wisdom of God? Will you help them understand your wisdom as they take the next step, as they embark on the next chapter? Will you go with them, Heavenly Father, and will you bless them, and will you keep them, and will you make your face to shine upon them, and will you help them to know the peace that comes from Jesus? Thank you for Grace, her parents, her family, and all the rest of our seniors, Father, our college graduates. Thank you for them. Go with them into the next chapter. Use them to bring you glory. Use them, Father, as you help them with their education to be a help in our society, to help bring our society back up to you. Use them, everyone, Father, in powerful ways, we pray. Bless them. Go with them. Encourage them. Strengthen them and help them to walk in the wisdom and the counsel and the knowledge and the understanding of you, the living God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.